Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people above them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Thursday night throwdown edition of the Evolution of the Rage Illusion. Let's do this thing. Podcast now. We've got a lot of stuff to break down. I'm going to get on the Sports Rage soapbox today a little bit. It's just there's a lot of things are bothering me that I see. And I think, I fear it's only going to get worse, so I better start raging about it now, because it's the calm before the storm, baby. College football season, it's literally now just a little more than a week away, and it's time to start pulling the trigger on our college football futures. I was a guest on a show, on Winnipeg Sports Talk with our boy Hustler earlier in the week, and he asked me about the NFL. There was a lot of NFL talk, and I told him, I got to be honest with you. I'm sort of, you know, I'm focused on college football right now because the NFL is still 3 weeks away, officially 3 weeks away, but college football is basically a week away. And with so many college football teams, you know, we've got to pick our spots and, you know, between win totals to win the conference and to make the playoffs, we're going to have a lot of plays. So, and a lot of plays means a lot of money. And so, you know, something I'll share with you guys, a little bit of a tip. We all do it. We've all been there. We've all done it. And I've been doing this a long time, but you'll have a bunch of teams circled that you like. You want to bet on this team. You want to bet on that team and college football futures and NFL futures. And it's all, you know, it's all great until you have to actually pay for it all. And if you have to pay for it all at once, like we literally are up to like 15, nearly 20 college football future plays right now. And we're not playing $50 a future. We're not playing $100 a future, right? We want to play, you know, at least if we're going to put the time in, we want to at least make some money off of this. So our strategy is basically, you know, in nickels, nickel, dime, maybe two dimes on a certain team here or there. That's going to add up. So we got to start putting these plays in, and we've begun to put some of these plays in. And you know that it's football season when Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are in the news, and we have to get you caught up to date because they broke the internet the other night when Taylor Swift joined Jason and Travis's podcast, which I've never listened to or seen for the record. But evidently, they don't need us tuning in to watch their show. They actually literally broke YouTube, and they broke the internet last night. They had over 1 million people log in at once to watch the show. Yet, I gotta say, and I saw CBS Sports and all the sports sites have recaps, and it's big news, the interview with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And CBS Sports, for those of us that, you know, were busy and have lives that didn't get an opportunity to see or hear this blockbuster interview, CBS Sports has the 7 things that we learned from Taylor Swift's appearance with Travis and Jason. Here's the number 1 thing we learned. I don't give a fuck about what she said, about what he says, or about what his brother says. Like, for the love of God, listen, they're cashing in. They're super rich. They're the only people who've ever played in the NFL. Like, so, you know, as we know, Kelsey's the greatest tight end ever. The other Kelsey's the greatest center ever. They're just the fucking greatest, right? You know, just ask them. Yet, at some point, like, seriously, have you ever heard of, like, oversaturation? Like, you ever heard of overexposure? The season hasn't started yet, and we're getting this bullshit rammed down our throats? Like, seriously? And I got to be honest with you. I have no beef with her. He's the dickhead. Like, she shows up to do this interview just sort of, like, as his girlfriend and sort of have fun, and he's got his energy drinks and his clothing line. It's all, like, perfectly placed. And I got to ask people, too. And, you know, feel free to respond to me online, et cetera. But so, okay, there, people are like, oh, my God, they had, like, over a million people tuning in. And, you know, incredible. What a podcast. How many of those people were football fans? And how many of these people were, like, Taylor Swift fans? Because I guarantee you there wasn't a million football fan tuning in for this podcast last night to hear about how they met and how she gets along with Andy Reid. Now, listen, I get it. Some of that stuff is interesting. For people, and I'm not criticizing it. There's, you know, like I said, I'm more interested in her stories than his, like, stories. And just the, everything's a work with this guy. Everything's a work. His haircuts, his clothes, the way he looks into the camera. Like, it's, everything is just so manipulated. And I gotta say, like, she loves him for real, because Taylor Swift has some of the best management in the world, like, literally and figuratively. Like, she's got shark lawyers, shark publicists, you know, shark managers. Like, she's got really sharp, smart people that are ruthless in the entertainment industry all around her. And
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Man, she's getting used, like, hardcore by this dude. Like, does anybody really think that Travis Kelce would be anywhere as near, like, mainstream if he wasn't dating Taylor Swift? Like, I'm just stating, Taylor, like, you know, he better be good in bet, because, like, what's the return for this for you? You're the billionaire, right? You're a billionaire. He's a multimillionaire, and he's worried about pimping his fucking energy drink, like, during his interview, more so than anything. So the 7 things that we learned, he's annoying. Everybody's sick of the Kelce's. Nobody cares. You're not the greatest tight end ever. You know, George Kittle's a great tight end. Like, I don't have to, like, hear about George Kittle every day. But as I stated, like Larry Merchant told me when Floyd Mayweather fought Conor McGregor, and I said, hey, Larry, is this a black eye for boxing? And he said, there's been worse black eyes than this for boxing, Gabe. And then he said, you know, one thing about all these circus fights, and it's pertinent for everything. Larry Merchant said, you know, Gabe, he said, Mayweather and Conor McGregor is a stupid fight, and it shouldn't be happening. But he goes, nobody's going to put a gun to anybody's head to force them to go inside the tent and watch the circus. We do it on our own, right? But I'm sending a message to the media, stop. I'd rather hear about what's going on with Travis Kelce on the football field and how the Chiefs are doing in camp behind the scenes than how him and Taylor Swift enjoyed the fucking movie Grease together or whatever. Good for you. I don't care. I don't. And I say this, I don't care about Josh Allen and his personal life. I literally don't. And in fact, less personal life, more Super Bowls. Get out of the hot tub. Let's win a Super Bowl. I don't care. I'm sick of Matthew Stafford's wife. I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of it all. So let me, there's the seven things that we learned. I'm sick of it. Screw yourself. So I had to, I wanted to start there. So you're caught up to date with the blockbuster interview. Another thing I'm sick of too, you know, like these sports sites online. I don't know who it was. It might have been Bleacher Report betting or something, and might have been FanDuel's account. They said major bet, better bets $250 on Chicago Bears to win Super Bowl. I care more about Taylor Swift than I do that. Like, in what world is that news now? Like, oh, some better. Good for you. I just bet $1,000 on Missouri over win total. Oh, hey, call USA Today. Breaking news. Hey, CNN, degenerate gambler in Vancouver just bet on the Missouri Tigers. Like, newsflash. Sports bettors bet on sports. Breaking news. Now, I'm going to start banning. I'm going to block every damn account that reports some stupid loser's bet. I don't care. Nobody cares. We're done. The one thing we do care about, though, is the Vancouver Whitecaps. And the Whitecaps are having a great year, expected to be just a mediocre sort of bottom-tier team. They don't have any money. They've got a hardcore fan base, but it's not a big one. The people that love them, but there's only about 25,000 of them. And against all obstacles, oh, yeah, the team's for sale. They might move. They don't have a stadium, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff against them. And somehow, like, they're good. And not only are they good, they're really good. And they're so good that somehow one of the greatest players of all time in Thomas Muller, the German great, said, I wanted to play for the Whitecaps. He's got zero connection to Vancouver. Zero connection to Vancouver. And in fact, Bayern Munich have a deal with LAFC, their partners. And Bayern Munich are like livid, but they can't do anything about it. But they're really upset that he's not going to LAFC. They have a partnership. And he said, no, I'm not going to LA. FC Cincinnati, very good team. They owned his MLS rights. He said, yeah, yeah, good luck with that. I'm not going to Ohio either. And he said, I want to be a Vancouver Whitecap. What? You want to be a Vancouver Whitecap? Just that, like, this is one of the biggest signings. This is, like, one of the biggest signings in MLS history. You know, he's not Messi, but I'll put it in context. He's got 14 million followers on Instagram. He has more followers on Instagram than every Vancouver Canuck player combined. And every BC Lion player, like every local athlete combined, they don't have 14 million followers. He does. You know, it's that big of a deal. And he arrived. He just arrived last night in Vancouver. They had a hero's welcome for him at the airport. People were going crazy. And he's expected to make his debut on Sunday. Just to put in context how good Muller is. He won 13 Bundesliga championships with Bayern Munich. He won 2 Champions League trophies with Bayern Munich. He won the 2014 World Cup with Germany. And he was the 2010 Player of the Year Golden Boot winner. 295 goals, 279 assists in 887 games. And he's a Vancouver Whitecap. And I like what he said. He goes, I didn't come to Vancouver for the beautiful weather. I came to Vancouver to get another trophy. And he basically said, I watched the MLS, and this is the team I wanted to play for. And I love their coach and what they're doing, and I just want to be part of this. We're fired up. For this, and we're going to be there on Sunday. Already have my tickets. So they're big news there. We'll have some picks for you, obviously, online. All right, the other thing, and then we'll bring in Cam Stewart, and we got George Kurtz ready to step up and in and join us. This is another thing that's sort of upsetting, but it is what it is. I'm over it. It's like a death in the family. Eventually, you have to deal with it. But it was the anniversary, August 12th. I don't know why people are talking about it more. I seem to see it more this year. But the 1994 lockout slash strike, whatever the hell you want to call it. It was a lockout. But Major League Baseball shut down. And for younger people out there, you're like, what? There was no World Series. There was no World Series. They shut it down on August the 12th, and it never came back. And I'll tell you right now, if that doesn't happen and the Expos win, the Expos are still there right now. They're still there right now because they would have had the World Series. They would have got a stadium after out of it because they would have won. And, like, it changed everything. It really did change everything. And the Expos were 74-40 on August the 12th. They were, like, not just winning but killing teams. No guarantee they would have won the World Series, right? No guarantee. But that's what I want to talk about. And would they have won? But the one thing that's not debatable is just how heartbreaking it was for Montrealers, because the Expos in the 70s were arguably the best team. Those Expos teams, one of the best teams ever not to win. But in those days, there was no free candy, kids. You had to win the division. Oh, you won 101 games. Good for you. Tough shit. We won 102. You're out. We're in. That's the way it worked in those days. And you know what? It was hard. It was unfair. But we had real winners. Like, it was a grind. The regular season mattered, man. And the Expos always were short by one game. Mike Schmidt hit a home run. Like, they literally, everyone in their division would win. Right? They would lose to the Phillies. They would lose to the Pirates. And then those teams would win the World Series. They lost to the Dodgers. Dodgers win in 81. So, like, Andre Dawson, Gary Carter, Steve Rogers, I go on. Those teams were amazing. They didn't win. And then finally 94 comes around, and you have a new wave of Pedro Martinez, your outfield, a young Marquise Grissom, a young Moises Alou, a Hall of Famer, and Larry Walker. You want an outfield? That was an outfield. Alou, Grissom, and Walker. Right? Like, they were dominant. Felipe Alou, best manager in baseball. Smart guy, great guy. They were rolling. They shut it down. Doesn't work. Right? It never comes back. Montrealers get the carpet pulled from underneath them. The only thing to soften the blow is the Canadians won in 93, but imagine the feeling of Montreal. Holy shit, we won the Stanley Cup, and now the World Series, maybe. And then down the road, we'll bring Cam Stewart, and down the road, the Toronto Blue Jays had won two straight World Series, and the Blue Jays were sort of like the Yankees before the Yankees in those days, and George Kurtz in the house with us as well, and I retweeted this last night in the late night hours. It was a screenshot of a 1992 Toronto Blue Jays starting lineup. And I said, man, younger people out there, you don't remember the Blue Jays in those days. They were like an all-star team. It was like basically like the American League all-star team. Like, the Blue Jays signed everybody. If there was a superstar available, they signed him. It was like they threw money around. They won back-to-back World Series. And then the following year, the Expos could have, might have won. And it would have been 3 years in a row of a Canadian team winning the World Series, which Major League Baseball did not want, because it should be noted the ratings sucked when the Blue Jays were in the World Series. Let's bring the Blue Jay fan in, Cam Stewart. What's going on, Cam?
Great memories, Gabe. And yeah, you said it. When Innerbrew, a.k.a. Labatt Blue, owned that team, that is the best point you made. David Cone, go get him. Dave Stewart, let's roll. Ricky Henderson, yes. All these guys, you know what I mean? And you said it. Up and down the lineup, there was no stiffs. And those were great days. Like, I remember at a keg party when the Jays beat Atlanta for the first time, and people were going nuts. And being a Toronto sports fan, you don't see much happiness, but the Blue Jays were one thing. Those are some of the best memories of my life when the Blue Jays beat the Braves, then the Phillies, man. Those were great, great times. Great call by you. These guys actually did anytime. They were mercenaries. We need this guy. We need this guy. We need this arm. We need this guy to steal bags. That's what they did. They spent. They won.
George Kurtz with us. If you remember, George, those Yankees teams, you know, that era, the Yankees were sort of young, right? That, you know, the Yankees were up and coming at that time, but the Blue Jays were the ones that spent money, Kurtz. All the talk about Steinbrenner and stuff all the time. Like, if you look at the Blue Jays, Ricky Henderson, Dave Winfield, Molitor, Jack Morris. They love the big name free agents and vets, Kurtz.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, we have to remember at this point, Steinbrenner was gone. Right, he was suspended in the Dave Winfield Howard Spear thing, which is why the Yankees became the Yankees of the 90s, because they didn't trade away Bernie Williams, who Steinbrenner did not like because he wasn't a superstar from day one. They didn't trade away Mariano Rivera, who he tried to trade to Seattle. All right, they kept these players, they kept the young players, let them grow because Gene Michael was running the team, not George Steinbrenner. So it was a big break for the Yankees at that point. But you're absolutely right. You know, when you told me we were going to talk about this, I'm looking at a deep dive here into the Expos, the Yankees, also the Reds and White Sox were good back then as well. And the first thing that hit me, the Expos were the best overall team. You could see from the players they had. You already named their team. But there's no superstar team, which is what we see nowadays, right? Some teams always got a whole bunch of superstars. There really aren't that. You know, Walker before really Walker, Pedro before Pedro.
Yeah, look at the rotation, which when people think back, actually.
It's not sexy.
They'll throw it out there. Oh, that Expos team, man, they were on, that team. Yeah, name their starting pitchers. Like, you know what I mean? Like Ken Hill was their ace. Ken Hill was a good pitcher, but never, like, a top, you know, he had his best year in Montreal. What, he won 16 that year? Pedro was still a kid in those days. They had a lot of young pitchers and sort of journeyman vets on that team. Hell, like Darren Fletcher was their catcher. Like, they weren't superstar-laden in the infield.
They played baseball back then. They just played baseball back then. Different game. Different game than it is now. But that was the first thing that hit me, is that there's just all those teams, no superstar teams. I mean,
we can't guarantee. Like, people in Montreal and people are, oh, they would have won the World Series. It's baseball. You don't know. We don't know. What we do know is they were the best team. I think they probably would have played the Yankees. Like you said, Kurtz, the White Sox were good in those days. The Blue Jays were sort of like one of these weird teams where, yeah, they won a couple of years in a row, and then they just sort of blew it up after. They're like, oh, yeah, we're done. We've won enough, and, like, we're not going to – you know, the Blue Jays weren't right there then. I remember the White Sox were really good and dangerous at that time. But there's no guarantee. But if you had to say – put it this way, Kurtz and Cam, and I'll throw it to you on this, Kurtz – the Expos would have been favorites. Like, the Expos were favorites to win. Like, they were the team to beat. Let's call it out for what it is and give them that.
I think you're almost certainly correct. They were sort of a team of destiny that year, right? They were playing very well. I don't think the Yankees were quite there yet. I also wonder if the Yankees had to fail first, which they ended up doing the next year against Seattle before they became the Yankees of the 90s when they won in 96. So I don't know if the Yankees would have gotten there. You look at the roster, and once again, we're talking 30 years ago. The Chicago White Sox might have had the best starting pitching of the teams that were there. They had McDowell.
Alvarez. I was going to say McDowell, Frank Thomas on team, but McDowell. Who else?
Yep.
Who else is on that staff? What other starting pitchers they have?
Burley Huff.
Burley. Burley would be on the team.
Maybe they had the trio
days.
There, the young trio. They had McDowell, Alvarez, McCaskill. And Alex Fernandez. McCaskill was on the team, yes. Or is he? Actually, I'm looking at the roster.
I think he was.
On the team. Yes, he is. He's awesome. On the team. He was a relief pitcher back then, though. As he was 33 years old. Their rotation was McDowell, Fernandez, Alvarez, Scott Sanderson, who was 37, and youngster Jason Bray.
Wow. Yeah, they had, exactly. They had, but, you know, veteran pitchers knew how to throw a pitch in those days. You didn't need, like, it was a different era. Like, every, you know,
boys on their team, by the way. Tim Raines was on the White Sox.
Yeah, a veteran Tim Raines at that point. So it would have been Raines, could have been Raines versus the Expos.
That'd have been wild.
In the World Series, potentially. But yeah, Expo fans really been through it. Like a lot of heartbreakers in the 70s. I was there for a lot of it. The Blue Monday. I mean, guys, like the elimination game. It was the ninth inning. Dodgers hit a Rick Monday, hit a home run on the Monday.
Yep.
That's why it's called Blue Monday. The game was supposed to be on Sunday, but it was rained out. And then even like in the last years when I was the post-game show host, they were pretty good again. Like but once again, they were kind of like ahead of schedule. They were young. They had Vladimir Guerrero, a veteran Cliff Floyd. Remember they brought in Bartolo Colon. They had they were a good team. Jose Vidro, Orlando Cabrera. Like Brian Schneider was the catcher. They had some good pitchers on it. Like they were good. Like they were pretty good. The problem is they were poorly managed with Frank Robinson. I love Frank, but like it was just sort of a free for all. They were owned by Major League Baseball. The Expo players party too much. Like it was just sort of a perfect storm. It was like, guys, if you really sort of applied yourself, you could probably get into the playoffs. But they just, and every time we'd get around September, they would wilt. Like the pressure would hit them like around Labor Day weekend. Like it always sort of gets, oh, now it's for real. And they would lose the series. But I remember Omar Minaya at the time was the general manager, and God bless him. He knew that he was not going to be the general manager in the future of that team because they were going to Washington and stuff. So he literally traded everybody away to get good. I love the style. He was like, what do I care? We're not going to be here. And what do people in Montreal care? So people in Montreal loved him because he was trading away all the prospects all the time just to try to win now, to try to win on the way out of Montreal. And Omar Minaya will always be very, very popular in Montreal because of that. But the last thing about that is, like I said, I was the post-game show host, and Minaya was the general manager. And there was like I'm not going to say he was 16, but like, I don't know, 20-year-old kid or so, a younger guy, was always by Omar Minaya's side. You know who that guy turned out to be? Alex Anthopoulos. Alex Anthopoulos is from Montreal. And Alex Anthopoulos was just sort of like a baseball nerd kid as a kid. I think like he literally cold called the Expos type deal, which is pretty cool. Like nothing was handed to this kid. He basically called the Expos and sort of like Moneyball. Hey, I have a chart of my thoughts. And like, they were like, yeah, kid. All right. You know what? Come in. Like he showed up and they were like, oh, put him in the video room, whatever. They literally like, you know, cut some tape up for us or whatever. You're hired, kid. So he, and like I said, the Expos were leaving. I mean, hell, I was the post game show host, right? It was a free for all. So he was an assistant with Minaya. And interestingly enough, now Anthopoulos, one of the most respected general managers in the game, got his start just walking in off the street in Montreal. Great, great story there. But yeah, just it's sad. Like I said, so like then the team leaves, right? I was there for that last night too. Like Montreal Expo fans have been through a lot of heartache over the years. I'll tell you that. And there's no like, well, it'll be better in the future. I always thought that their baseball would go back to Montreal, but it's not. It's not. It would have, by it could have, it would have. There's a better chance of a freaking NBA team going, or an NFL, like seriously, like there'll be an NFL team in Montreal before there's a baseball team. But there'll be a baseball team in Baghdad before there's an NHL team in Quebec City. But that's another story. Now the Blue Jays in those days, you know, Cam, you were a teenager, yep. Right? So yep. I'm sure you were going to games at times.
I was.
Richard Garner, a little older. Our boy, yeah. Garner, George, a friend of ours, he's actually part of Major League Baseball history when Joe Carter hit the home run to beat the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series. Our boy Garner jumped on the field and ran behind him and, like, touched home plate. Like, he's on the video and stuff until he isn't, until you see security grab him. But, but he made it all the way. Like, it was a different era in those days. He made it all the way. Like, he literally, he was on the third baseline right past the dugout in lower seats, and Garner just hopped over the wall when Joe Carter was rounding the bases. And he kind of was like the only one, like, fan, you know what I mean? So, like, the Blue Jays are sort of mobbing around home plate, and you see Garner hop off, and you see sort of see Garner join in around the third, right, third base. Garner's running behind Joe Carter. It's too funny. And then he gets to home plate, and he didn't get tackled or murdered or anything. They just kind of pushed him out of the way. Nowadays, like, you're not getting that far. But our buddy George Garner, he used to have a thing that he used to get a kick out of sneaking into sporting events. Like, he, you know, like, he would have money, but he would take it as a, like, as a challenge. Like, to, and like, you name it, like Major League Baseball All-Star Game. You know, like, he told a story about how he snuck in and he ended up in, like, an elevator with George Bush, and, like, Secret Service were like, "You're not supposed to be here." And he told them, "Oh, I'm just staying in the hotel and I got lost." He's really, like, he really, like, snuck in. He had a way into, he could get into the Sky Dome, Rogers Center. And if you remember, Cam, a guy, we were on the air and Garner was telling these stories once, and a guy actually called in that worked at the stadium. And said, "These are really funny stories, and, you know, we're big fans of the show, but I promise you, you will not be able to do this anymore, and you're not going to be able to sneak in. We don't think it's that, you know, we are, funny, ha-ha, but we don't encourage this." And Garner said, "I bet you I can." And they're like, "No, you won't be able to." And lo and behold, Garner, like, snuck in their stadium, like, easily, yep, like James Bond, like, in a minute. Exactly. He was in, type thing.
He's good.
Then I was at the UFC in Vegas. And it was at the MGM Grand Arena. And the way they do it there, the MGM Grand, there's basically one entrance into the arena. And it's just like this big wall of, it's like an airport. It's just like this big area of like 50 metal detectors, right? And they take your ticket, you walk through the metal detector, and they take your ticket. There's no, like, there's no way in or out. Like, that's the way in or out. And it's Vegas, so there's literally, like, 30 LVPD police officers. You got, like, you know, another 20 MGM security goon types. Like, it's covered in security, and there's no, like, wiggle room. Like, I used to do it as a kid at the Montreal Forum. I used to know, like, yeah, you know what? These guys, the ushers, have a go out for a smoke on this side door, and they pop the door open and stuff. Like, I used to be on top of all that stuff. So that's why I always got a kick out of Garner's, because I was the same. I always knew, all right, how do you get into this building anyways, if we have to? So there's always a way. But at the UFC, we're like, there's no way, Garner, you're not sneaking in. And we'll just buy the damn ticket. I remember it was like an hour before the card. We're like, just buy the damn ticket, Richard. All right. You lost. It is what it is. Ha ha ha. He goes, "No, I didn't. I didn't lose." And lo and behold, man, this is how slick Richard Garner is. We're standing there, and then there's Dana White and a bunch of UFC executives walking in like they own the place. Because they do. Richard goes, "Be right back." Richard Garner just joins their walk, gets on his phone, pretends to be on his phone, though, and starts yelling into his phone. Visibly enough that security and the cops see him going, "I'm coming in right now with Dana. Everything better be fucking ready when I get in there. I'm coming in right now." And they, "Hey, hello, sir." He walked in. He gets to the other side. My phone rings and he goes, "I'll see you. I'm going to get a drink. I'll see you inside." And I'm like, "Dear God, if there's not a way to sneak in, you hustle your way in." Like, the guy, Richard Garner, really. He's like someone on, he's on the A-team or something. Like, the guy, like, "Oh, no, I'll figure this out. I'll get in." And then he just, amazing, he gets on the phone and pulls the "I'm supposed to be there" hustle. I swear, man, if you, it's like George Costanza said, it's not a lie if you believe it, right? Like, if you believe something, you can convince others of it. And a great example is, there was just a woman in Florida, of course, that was just arrested as posing as a nurse. You'll like this, Kurtz, because your wife is a nurse. So I'm sure you saw this story, or she saw it for sure. the lady can posed as a nurse for like the last 6 years. She's not. She's just like a crazy lady. She has no degree in medicine. She's not a nurse. But get this, guys. She did such a good job. She was promoted 3 times.
So
like,
good.
Yeah, like she never killed anybody. It's not like Dateline. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's yeah, like as you see that, right? Fake dog, whatever. Like no, like she always wanted to be a nurse, but never went to school to do it. Somehow got hired and actually got promoted for it. And she's getting charged now, like with serious crimes. It's like, I'm with the internet on this one. You know what? She didn't hurt anybody. She actually got promoted. So, like, people were all, like, basically saying, you know what? You don't actually need a degree to do anything. Just show up and do it. And I sort of kind of agree with that partially. And here's another thing that's just absolute gold that we stumbled across. And as a bald man, I'm very pleased to see this news. We've been persecuted far too long. We've been mocked far too long. So a UK court, the UK Supreme Court, rules that calling somebody bald is now sexual harassment. Basically, men are bald. Wow. Men are bald. More than women are. So therefore, it is sort of a sexual connotation. And the case comes after a 64-year-old electrician claimed that his boss used insults and insulted him for being bald. Judges said baldness is more common among men, so the remark was inherently sexist, making it sexual harassment under the law in the UK. This is the best part, the icing on the cake. The 64-year-old electrician who just won and changed mankind for all of us bald people forever, his name, Tony Finn. You can't make this up. Tony Finn, a 64-year-old electrician in England.
Are you kidding me?
The guy who filed the lawsuit and claim and actually won.
That's awesome.
Tony Finn. Just absolute classic. So, you know what?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
As a bald man, we'll take it, but I think you're getting pretty crazy out there in the UK, all right, with this stuff. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's just a bridge too far. I saw the other day in England, too, two women cops posed undercover, and they were attractive, and they went jogging in a park. Now, this is like old school. George, you remember the movie The Warriors, right? And, you know, there's that scene. I mean, you know, there's, you know, sexual assaults in parks and, you know, undercover police officers. But in England, they're charging people with catcalls. So, like, basically, like, so the woman, you know, jogs by in the park and you say something. You're not trying to attack her. You know what I mean? You're not running after. But you go, hey, baby, you know, nice ass or something. You get arrested. They were, like, busting people for catcalls in the big park in downtown London the other day.
Wow.
I'm thinking, man, like, catcalls? You're getting arrested now? So, like, you're going to arrest a construction worker for whistling at someone? Like this is the world. Like this is how far. And it's funny because people think I'm some sort of pinko, like commie woke liberal or something all the time. And I'll tell you, even I think that's batshit crazy. but I'm not woke. I'm just awake and smart. But there's a difference. there's a big difference. So yeah, there's a lot of things like that today. Just a lot of sort of, you know, loose ends. I opened up the show, Kurtz. I know you were glued to your computer for the revolutionary interview with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce last night. And I avoided it. Like, I don't, whatever, I don't care. I'm doing a show. I got my own life. I don't care. But it bothered me, Kurtz, that all sports sites are talking about it. Like, TMZ should be talking about this and People Magazine or whatever. Fine. But, like, why, like, if I go to CBS Sports football page, is there a recap of that interview? I'm sick of it. It's done. And I didn't even blame her. I blame him. I find him more annoying than I find her, to be honest with you. What's your take, Kurtz?
Well, first, you know I didn't watch this or listen to it or anything like that. The only part of it I saw was a snippet on SportsCenter last night, maybe a minute. And that was about her talking, I guess, trying to prove that she knows more about football than we give her credit for. She's talking about, you know, cover two, cover zero, cover four, that sort of thing. So I don't care personally. Means nothing to me. I know why they're covering it. It's Taylor freaking Swift with 8 million or 8 bazillion followers, right? That's why they're doing it. I think at one point last night, this thing had a million people watching or listening, however you were doing this. So, yeah, I understand.
How many of them were football fans? How many of them were football fans?
15%?
No.
I'll give you 15%.
I'd say, maybe a few hardcore Chief fans. You know what I mean? Like some hardcore Chief fans, and the rest were all.
They're all for her.
Yeah.
What was your number? How much percent?
I'll give 15.
Yeah, I'm going to say 10. Yeah, 10%. That would have been my answer. Yeah.
I'll say 3.
3?
I'll take the over.
Yeah. The under might be.
Yeah, I don't.
They'll be Chief fans and other people, football people who are curiosity. Yeah.
It's under 10%.
Philadelphia fans, too, by the way. It's Jason Kelce as well. So there'll be Philadelphia fans in there.
I think they're done with him now. Like, and here's another one. It's overkill for both of them. It's
they're cashing in. They're cashing overkill on the opportunity. Good for them. Yeah. I mean, it's the, whatever, capitalism, got to make the money while it's hot. But I said, I would not have known that this thing was on last night. If not, in fact, it was all over social media, all over Twitter. And I said, I had no interest in watching it other than, you know, watching SportsCenter, I don't know, 1, 2 in the morning, and there it is. They're showing a snippet of it. So for some reason, I didn't fast forward it.
The other ridiculous thing is I'm sick of is John Cena as well. So John Cena is a bad guy now, and he's turned heel. Like, John Cena, like, is how do you sell someone as a bad guy, like, when he's doing, like, Disney movies?
And Neutrogena commercials, too. Skin cleansers.
He does, like, children's stuff. Like, I get it. Like, it's suspended animation, you know, it's suspended belief, wrestling and movies and stuff like that. But it's the same thing where I don't get it. Like, you know, it's a lot like the Travis Kelce stuff. There's some things I don't get why they work, but they do. Whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, they're selling out stadiums and stuff like that with this angle with Cena now. But I'm just like, you know he's not a bad person. Like, at least like when I was a kid, wrestlers, the bad guys were actually bad people in real life. That was the difference. Like, you know, I met them. Hell, I got robbed by them. Like the heels were actually heels. It was like, yeah, the guy's actually scary and kind of crazy in real life. There's too much suspended animation now. All right. So speaking of suspended animation, this thing blew my mind. Kurtz, how many fans are the Colorado Rockies averaging this year? What do you think their attendance is?
You can't ask me this. I actually know the answer because Scott Wetzel has been talking about it over and over again the past couple of weeks. So you might want to go with Cam.
It's pretty insane. Yeah, and speaking of the Cam, the Toronto Blue Jays, like in the heyday, like Montreal Max sent me a message last night when I was talking about the Jays of yesterday, saying, yeah, they used to get like 50,000 people. The Jays' attendance this year I find to be pretty lame, actually, disappointing. Like, there's nothing more than the Toronto management could do, right? I mean, all these Blue Jay fans bitching and moaning because Juan Soto didn't sign there. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, you really think Juan Soto was ever signing there in the first place? Like, and nothing, it's not because Toronto sucks, but like the Blue Jay fans, they just cry and cry and cry. The Blue Jays are one of the best teams in the league. They spend like the third and fourth, you know, whatever, it bounces back and forth, you know, depending on the who they brought in. But the Blue Jays are like a top four spending team in baseball. They spend over, you know, 200. Only the Dodgers, Mets, Phillies spend more. Like, they spend more than like everybody pretty much. They're only getting not only, it's not a disaster, but they're averaging 32,000 a game, nearly 33.
Yeah. That's, what is that, 11th? I'm just seeing these things now. It's 11th.
That's kind of lame, to be honest.
I agree with you. They should be a top 10 organization, I think, with the population. The GTA has over 5 million people when you talk about the surrounding areas. It's huge. So, yeah, no, I agree with you, Gabe, and they've done a great job, and they're playing well. So, yeah, I'd expect them to be, you know, around the 5 or 6 hole. And am I reading this right, that Colorado is, like, in the middle of the pack, 14th? That can't be true. What is it, 30,000? No way. It's got to be a mistake.
Yep, that's true.
Wow.
That's amazing.
People go. It's a nice stadium. I guess
that's amazing. Good for them. Yeah. Going to this game. It's that, it's the lifestyle in Colorado.
No, it's bad.
Have
for
a
them.
Brew.
It's bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know where Gabe's going with this too. Yeah. It's bad because
why would the owner, Kurtz? Why would the owner care?
Yes.
Why would the owner care, Kurtz?
Right. Like, he's making money either way, so no reason to get better.
Yeah, these guys are tied with Milwaukee, basically. They're the same numbers. That's nuts. 14th. Wow.
It must be a good experience because, man, it can't be fun going to a baseball game in Colorado in April. Hell, maybe not even in May.
The thing with Colorado, I know people that go to these games. Number one, it's pretty cheap to get in. Number two, don't forget, it is a beer brewing city. So, like, beer is cheap at the games. So, like, the drinks are cheap. The tickets are pretty cheap. And don't kid yourself. Don't think like that their attendance isn't helped by playing the Dodgers like 7 times and 8 times a year at home, right? And, you know, Sanford, like the visiting teams do very well there, right? Like people will travel there. And also baseball is not like geographically, like they were talking about that. Remember, George, we talked about the NASCAR game there. And some of the players were bringing it up. They're like, you know, I'm from the South and I thought it was really cool. And they're like, you know, baseball is massive in the South, but it's not really represented by baseball much, right? Yeah, the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, you got Texas. But, like, there's sort of, you know, it is sort of, like, passed over a little bit. You look at baseball, college baseball guys, the SEC and stuff. Like, it's massive baseball in the South. Like, you know, it wouldn't be crazy to put a baseball team in Nashville. I'll put it that way, like an MLB team. Agreed. But my point is, like, with Denver – people, like, you know what I mean? If you're from Nebraska or something, you're going to go to the Rockies, George. You know what I mean? Like, they get surrounding states that don't have big league teams. They're like, oh, yeah, like, we'll go see a game in Colorado because this team is playing. So they get a lot of that. Because it's not, like, there's no way in hell, Cam and George, that there's 30,000 locals waking up every day going, oh, yeah, you know what? They're terrible, but I'm still going to go to the game.
Gabe, I'm surprised Seattle, though, they're dead middle. Like, they're 15, and they're having a great year. But you talk about it. Pacific Northwest, a lot of people just do – it's a very different style of community, I guess. Like, I expect better from the Mariners.
No, but it's actually pretty good. Like I said, the only reason I bitch about the Blue Jays, just because it's the city of Toronto is so big, right? Like, so
yes.
Like, just from the population, but – it seems to me, I mean, if you're a popular team, you get about 30,000 a game or so.
I'm going to the game. That's afternoon game with Scherzer today. So I'm ready to rock.
The thing is with which game?
Today, Blue Jays. It's at 3 o'clock.
The afternoon game. Okay, yeah. Cool. Thing with Seattle is it's not that big of a city. Like 30,000 is pretty good there. They got weather issues there too. Like that, I'm not like crying about 30,000. But I'm just saying, like, if you're the Blue Jays and the city of Toronto, you're big as it is, and they're as good as they are, it should be a little bit bigger. You know, it's wild. The big drop-off. The L.A. Dodgers averaged 49,880 fans a game. That's wild when you're averaging nearly 50,000 a game. That, you know what? But they spend the money, right? So the Yankees, interesting, Kurtz, they're second, 42,000. San Diego, that's the one. I mean, San Diego is not a big city. And they're just like, they've got like just baseball fever there. That's incredible. Getting 42,000 a game. Like Philadelphia, manic. Like, put it this way, guys. When I was looking at the list, was sort of with the Blue Jays, I kind of see it. Like, it's about passion. It's not really about like the city size, right? Like, Dodger fans, the Dodgers are the kings of L.A. Like, they're bigger than the Lakers. Like, they're the biggest team in the city. Like I said, like, the Lakers just didn't buy the Dodgers. The Dodgers just bought the Lakers. So, like, the Dodgers are kingpins. It's hard to describe how big they actually are in California and even globally. But, like, the Dodgers are just a behemoth. The Yankees, so they've got fans. The Yankees, you know, whatever, the most traditional team in baseball. They've got, like, they're just hardcores. San Diego doesn't have anything else, really. Like, the baseball team has become their thing, and the owners put a lot of money into it. People in Philadelphia are psychopaths. Like, people in Philadelphia are bigger Philly fans than people in Toronto are. Like the most hardcore Blue Jay fan isn't as crazy as the most hardcore Philly fan about it. Right? Like, you know what I mean? So there's sort of levels of it. Same thing. Met fans, very passionate, crazy. Cub fans, passionate, crazy. Atlanta, new stadium. You know, they're in the suburbs. They're usually good. But Atlanta's drawn pretty well. But I don't think of the Braves like a crazy passionate fan base. San Francisco, one of the nicest parks in the state in the league. Boston, whatever, speaks for itself. Then you got Houston and you got Toronto. So it's not like Toronto are really, like, lagging that much. For me, I'd like to see Toronto, like, in the seven hole here. You're not going to get more than the Yankees and the Phillies and stuff, like, where there's just crazy passion. The Blue Jays have, like, crazy passionate fans, but it's just not the same, Cam. Right.
No, you know, I agree. They should be where Atlanta is. They should be in the seven hole, like Dodgers, Yankees. I'm San Diego. That's surprising. Philadelphia, Mets, Cubs. Yes. Seven but with one Atlanta.
One thing, and Kurtz, it's noted too about the Blue Jays, I should note about their attendance. They weren't that good earlier in the year, right? They were, and Blue Jay fans are fed up, right? I mean, they were, you know, three games under 500 at one point, like, you know what I mean? 18-21, and then 26-29 or whatever. Like, they kind of just got really good. And then there was the All-Star break and stuff. So I would expect, Kurtz, that Blue Jay home attendance to look better at the end of the year now that they're good and they have a bunch of home games to wrap the season up. Because, like I said, earlier in the year, they weren't that good. Plus, you're competing with the Maple Leafs and all that in the playoffs, NHL playoffs.
You're muted there, George.
Okay. A big thing, actually. It actually used to be a big thing where NHL playoffs would affect Major League Baseball teams. But, yeah, it's not so much anymore. The CFL used to wait to kickstart their season, actually. Do we have you, Kurtz?
Yeah, you got me.
All right, so...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
That's always a problem when teams, like I said, so like the Rockies, you're getting 30,000 people. That's bad news. Like, if you're a Rocky fan, like, the only way teams ever really react is if they hit rock bottom. Look at the Athletics, 9,000 a game. Wow. And it's a
That's all they can get there, though. Right? How much does that stadium hold? 12?
Exactly.
13.
Would you expect the White Sox, even though they're junk? Chicago's a pretty good sports town. They're right at the bottom, like Miami, Tampa Bay. And
I also wonder that in this day and age, so you need a – and it's sort of sad for the White Sox that – and Detroit used to be in this as well – is when you built these new stadiums, they didn't do a very good job. You know what I mean? A lot of these new stadiums they're destination points, right? You want to go to see the stadium, maybe not so much the team, but the stadium as well. You know, Chicago, there's nothing much to – what do they call it now?
Generic.
Great field. It's blah. There's nothing to it.
It's generic, but if the team – like, dude, the White Sox were the worst team in the history of baseball last year. So it's not rocket science that people aren't going to want to go, right? You know what I mean? And as far as the stadium is concerned, I'm not a believer in that. Like, people, that's sort of like it's always like a crutch with teams and fan bases. I saw it in Montreal. Oh, only if they had a new stadium. Yeah, okay, Olympic Stadium sucked. I'm not going to disagree. I didn't mind it, but I get it. But a good example, Kurtz, is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh have one of the nicest stadiums in baseball. Like, you could argue actually. It is the coolest one, right? Like,
I think it is the best one.
Yeah, it's voted. It has been voted the most, like, the coolest one or the one that people want to visit the most. It's Pittsburgh. So, Pittsburgh are 26 in attendance. They suck, right? Baltimore, Camden Yards, George. Very cool stadium, right? They suck.
That's probably number two on my list.
Yeah, 22,000 a game. So I'm just stating, like, the stadium thing, whatever, if you're good. It's sort of like team names. You know what I mean? Like, people bitch. Like, bring the Redskins back. Nobody cares if they're good. No one complained last year that they were the Commanders when they were winning games. Right? It's like in Edmonton now. Oh, they got to be called the Eskimos, not the Elks. That's why I don't go. No, you don't go because the team is freaking terrible. That's why you don't go. Like, if they were 12-1, whatever, you wouldn't care what they were called. Like, the team name stuff is the stupidest stuff ever. Like, who cares what they're called? It's about winning, right? And same thing, like, kind of with a stadium. Like, you get a nice new stadium. The shine wears off. The honeymoon wears off pretty quickly after you've seen it a couple of times if the team sucks. That's the bottom line there. Kurtz, your prediction for San Diego and L.A. this weekend?
Oh, Padres are hot. Dodgers are not. And by the way, boy, Dodgers and Mets, thank you so much last night, boys. I didn't need that money. Fine.
They were both. They have multiple runs, too. Dodgers, right. 103. But the Mets. Gabe warned us, though, George. I'm glad it was parlayed because, yeah, the Mets are a train wreck. Like, I came so
close to texting you, Cam, when I got off of in-game. Like, hey, looking good, right? It was 6-0 Mets. It was 3-0 Don. Looking good. I'm like, nope, don't want to jinx it.
Thank God for the WNBA, Gabe.
I said it. Said the Mets are just even though, listen, I said it the way out. I said, they're up 6-0. Even the Mets probably will be pretty safe.
Nope.
I said, they probably won't mess this up. But the Braves can hit. I knew that before. I said it before the game. That's why I didn't bet on that game. I knew the Braves can put runs on the board. Unbelievable. Yeah, big series, but I say LA wins 2 of 3 this week. It's sort of like big brother, little brother thing here. Like, this is Michigan State. Yeah, they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs once a couple of years ago. But for the most part, the Dodgers have been good at pulling the carpet from underneath them. And massive series, but somewhat of a low point for LA. I don't think it's, there's no reason to really panic and freak out and whatever. It is what it is. But to get season series swept by the Angels is really something that the Angels are going to remember and their fans are going to remember for a while. I'll tell you that. But we'll be back on Friday. Bunch of football picks. Rob Vino's going to step up and in. We're going to hammer the NFL preseason card, CFL football as well. Enjoy the baseball game. Cam, Kurtz, we'll see you online throughout the day crying about your baseball bets. And don't forget to subscribe to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. Next week, we dial it up. College football futures. You know, we already played the Missouri Tigers over 6.5, and we've got a lot more to lay down. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.